Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we anticipate, we look forward to the great feast of Pentecost that we'll be celebrating this coming Sunday. Please don't make it a feast that, oh yeah, this is Pentecost, and pray the prayers and sing the songs and walk out unchanged. Not because God isn't pouring out grace upon you, but because we're oblivious and God always waits for our free will to act. He'll never violate our free will. And I don't want anybody who listens to Food for the Journey to ever go around saying, I didn't know, I didn't understand. One of the things I urge you to do in the coming weeks is to read my book, More of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. To access, to order that book, go to our website, renewalministries.net. renewalministries.net. And then click on the bookstore, and you'll be able to find that book, More of the Holy Spirit. That's a book you want to take and read and reread, not because I wrote it, but because I tried to pull together the essential information that you really need. And don't just skim it. Really read it and say, is this grace working in my life? Did I even know that this gift was possible in my life? Ask yourself those questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions, because the Holy Spirit is the giver of all gifts, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, I pray. You've got the greatest of teachers. I can guide you, but the real teacher is the Holy Spirit. So please take advantage of these days right now as we come very near to the great feast of Pentecost, because I long, brothers and sisters, to see those graces activated in our lives, that the church may truly glorify him by using the gifts that he holds out so generously to us, by putting those gifts to work, learning what they are, learning how to use them, putting them to work. He gives different gifts to different people. It's important to say, is this the, not, I want that gift, but I don't want that gift. You don't do that. You say to the Lord, I want your Holy Spirit living and reigning in me. I want your Holy Spirit to guide me. I welcome your Spirit in my life. And then you watch how God leads you and shows you the gifts he wants you to use. And he will do that. Today, we look to the first reading taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verses 17 to 27. From Miletus, Paul had the presbyters of the church at Ephesus summoned. When they came to him, he addressed them, "You know how I lived among you the whole time, from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility and with the tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews. And I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit or from teaching you in public or in your homes. In other words, I did everything I could. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and to faith in our Lord Jesus. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. What will happen to me there, I do not know, except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonment and hardship await me." He's very close to the Lord. He's listening intently. He's waiting upon the Lord, and the Lord is being very gracious to him, and he's showing him some of what lies ahead, the suffering for Paul that lies ahead. And then Paul says, "Yet I consider life of no importance to me." In other words, I don't want to live life for myself. I want to live life for God, with God, in God. "The only thing I want," he says, "if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace." He's got his priorities clear. It wasn't easy. He really got knocked from that horse. the humility where he had to say, I was wrong and you are right. He had to suffer a lot and he was about to suffer more. Yet his joy, the only thing I want is to finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. It's the whole orientation of his life. It should be ours too. Different gifts require different things, but our lives, first of all, should be, I'm a son or daughter of God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to follow you. Use me. That ought to be the full orientation, whether we're married, whether we're single, whether we're celibate, our whole focus. Then we express it and we assume the responsibilities of our state in life, absolutely. But there has to be that willingness to say, Lord, use me. Here I am. I'm weak. I'm sinful. I repent of what I've done wrong. Help me. Help me to repent more. Help me to see clearly my sin and to repent quickly so that the light of God might shine more fully in our lives. That's what he wants. And you begin to see, in a certain way, you begin to see, I don't even know how to express it, you begin to see the infinite, eternal life that God has for us. I'm not just here on this earth for 60, 70, 80 years and then nothing. I'm here to give my life to God, to be committed to God, to follow him, whatever my state in life. It varies the way it's expressed according to our state in life, but all of us are called to be disciples, true disciples, and to follow him wherever he goes. That's God's call on all of us. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Psalm 68. We need that in our hearts so that, as Paul in these last verses of chapter 20, he says, but now I know that none of you to whom I preach the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. He knows he's going to die. And so I solemnly declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. In other words, I didn't hold back. I told you the whole truth as revealed by Christ. Now it's up to you, he's saying. And that's passed on from generation to generation to us. There is a certain way you can take this as being addressed to you. The letters of Paul, I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. And the entire plan of God is what elicits Psalm 68, sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing to God, a bountiful rain you showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished, your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Blessed day by day be the Lord who bears our burdens, God who is our salvation. God is a saving God for us. The Lord, my Lord, controls the passageways of death. God is Lord and King over all. Lord, I have a purpose in life. There is a plan for me. The psalmist declared it. Paul declares it. Do you declare it? God has a purpose in creating me. Lord, I am first of all your son or daughter. I'm first of all your disciple, your servant. Then I might be married, I might be single, I might be celibate. And those are important things. Whatever our state in life, God supplies the grace for us to live it as his disciple differently in each state of life. But he gives us the grace to live as his disciple, as his son, as his daughter. Those are not just pious images. They're the reality. Brothers and sisters, let's ask God to open our own hearts that we might see even more clearly the purpose for which we were created. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11, Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. It's God. It's in Christ who gives us eternal life. Are you receiving the gift? Are you opening your heart? That means your life is very different than if you just look at it with worldly eyes. If you see that all life is this life, you're missing the infinite realities that are there for us. Just as you gave him authority over all people so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Look at this intimate conversation with this Father. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Would you be included in that number? Now they know that everything you gave me is from you. Because of the words you gave me, I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understand that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours. And everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. There's a distinction here between those who choose the paths that lead them further and further away from God. And believe me, if you're not actively seeking to follow God, you can be pulled off the path in a moment. You may be actively seeking God and make a mistake or sin or fall, and God will bless you and restore you and give mercy to you when you turn back to him. You keep going on that path. But if you're in the world and somehow saying, I'm Catholic, I go to church, that's not it, brothers and sisters. That's not it. Membership in a church is not it by itself. What's important is that out of what I learn from the church, out of what the church teaches me, I make the personal decision to choose Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and to follow him all the days of my life with the graces that he gives me through the sacraments. Make an active decision. Don't just say, I've been a Catholic. Yeah, I was baptized when I was a baby. Yeah, I've been a Catholic all my life. Are you? Are you truly living out what the church teaches, what the gospel gives us? And don't take that on as a heavy burden. Just say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I don't know what this means, but I want to be with you. Give me the grace I need to follow you. And then depend on him day in and day out, and he will lead you on the path to union with him. God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change, and I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.